Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
We're following reaction to today's Supreme Court ruling that race-conscious admissions practices at Harvard and University of North Carolina, and therefore all schools, are unconstitutional. President Biden made a statement at the White House today.
Today, the court once again walked away from decades of precedent and make, as the dissent has made clear. The dissent states in today's decision, quote, rolls back decades of precedent and momentous progress, end of quote. I agree with that statement from the dissent.
Well, former Vice President and presidential hopeful Mike Pence said he was pleased by the decision and that the admissions processes only served to perpetuate racism.
Let's talk now about the reasoning in this ruling and what it might mean going forward. Olatunde Johnson is law professor at Columbia University. She studies constitutional law and social justice. Professor, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
First, at the majority opinion, just for the rest of us, what is the big picture reasoning in the majority opinion here?
So I think it's important to start rather similarly to where President Biden starts, just in noting that the court in the opinion today really moves away from several decades of precedent that said that universities could consider race and ethnicity as one factor in a broad admissions program to further diversity. And the court really affirmed that interest in the 2003 decision in Grutter, and this case chips away from it in this case. But unlike in Dobbs, there's not a straight up acknowledgement of overruling precedent. It is saying, hey, we're following Grutter. Grutter said that there were time limits to this kind of interest here. And also, we find as a court that we can't administer this program, that diversity is too open-ended, a rationale in order to advance diversity. You have designations around race that are really broad and amorphous, and that the values that these institutions are promoting are good values, but they're not something that justifies the explicit use of race as a factor or a tip in one direction. That's the bottom line. I can say more about the reasoning.
Let me just try to understand what you're saying here. You mentioned the Grutter ruling two decades ago that, you know, that said affirmative action in college admissions, they're subject to narrow restrictions. Is the reasoning today, the majority ruling today, that what these universities, Harvard and UNC, are doing is not consistent with these narrow restrictions?
No, actually, the opinion goes further than that. So Harvard and UNC modeled the admissions programs on what the Supreme Court in Grutter said was constitutional. They said it was constitutional. You certainly can't consider quotas, but it was constitutional to have race in a flexible admissions program play a decisive role, to give a tip in one direction or to consider it overall while you're considering grades and test scores and all the other things we consider in admissions and someone's background, their essays, their teacher recommendations. But this decision says that Grutter, in saying that, raised some big administrability problems, that the kind of interest that's at stake here and that the universities are claiming, this interest in diversity, it's too broad and it doesn't justify the careful use of race, and that also that Grutter had language that said at some point we were going to end. If you do the math, that means in 2028 we were going to end, because the court in Grutter said 25 years.
25 more years, yeah.
But that's how the court sees this.
There were a number of concurring and dissenting opinions. What do you read in the dissenting opinions? Notably, Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson read from the bench her dissenting views.
Yeah, I think that you can see in both of the dissents, in Ketanji Brown Jackson's and Sotomayor's, a really different take about the meaning of equal protection and the legacy of Brown versus Board of Education. And that's a lot of what they're challenging. Ketanji Brown Jackson's dissent says a lot about the history that got us to this point, our America's racial history, and the way in which it endures in terms of contemporary inequality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And so you just see these two different views of the Equal Protection Clause. For the majority, it's about colorblindness. But for the dissent, it's really about a history of addressing racial discrimination and racial inequality and segregation.
Much more on this to discuss. Olutunde Johnson is professor at Columbia Law School. Thank you very much.
Thank you.